We're live.
We're live.
Welcome to episode 2, everybody. Scrapcha, brought to you by Gymtrician. And we're delighted to announce that we're sponsored now by IrishFighting.com and Fusco's of Meat Street. So, exciting times. We're joined tonight. I'm really excited about this and I've been excited all week by Mr. Matt Bourke.
How's it going? What's the crack?
The best part of a woman's body, apparently.
Oh, Jesus. That's a great start, isn't it?
Sets the tone, you know what I mean? Matt, now we have a whole list that we could go through, but why not introduce yourself there for the viewers?
Matt Bourke, as you said, from the Dublin 8 area, up the Libos.
Yeah.
The Liberties.
Up the Libos. I'm working out in the National Rehabilitation Hospital. I'm part of the Brain Injury Programme. I'm out there the last 7-8 years delivering cognitive rehabilitation therapy. And that's why you helped me to come here to talk today about brain injury.
Yeah, Scrap Chat, we basically were a combat sports. We basically like to talk bollocks, but we cover combat sports. And considering your role and considering the involvement of trauma to the brain in combat sports, who better than a guest than to have in on yourself to give your thoughts, opinions,
we
and
don't
facts.
Talk bollocks, Shane. We talk very educational.
Educated bollocks.
Yeah, educated. There you go. Yeah.
Well, then I'll blend in. I've got a degree in bollocksology.
Looking at your CV here, though. Well, I'm acting like I have your CV.
Yeah.
But
it's about the size that'll fit on that page.
Yeah.
It's a little one.
You do cognitive rehabilitation, as you just said, but you've also done sports science. You're a personal trainer. You had nutrition, sports psychology. Is there anything you don't do?
No, I'll give Anton a go. It's always been a mantra of mine. If anyone asks me, can I do something? I can do that. I'll give that a go. And I'll fake it till I make it.
Now, you have so much stuff here that I want to know, what are you making up for? What's the lack?
What am I compensating for?
Yeah.
Probably the fact that I'm a ginger kid. I'll never get rid of that. I used to be an altar boy. But sure, look, that's another show. But,
what's happening, Kevin? What's been going on?
So
Kevin has a rant, be prepared.
Yeah, Kevin had a bit of an issue today. So I've been talking about this bottle of whiskey for about 2 or 3 weeks. I actually got one for a mate of mine for his birthday and I haven't got the sample. So I was like, fuck it, I'll buy one for myself because we're going away tomorrow for the weekend. So basically Parson Motel fucked up and the bottle got seized by customs. So, grand, I contacted customs, contacted friends and fucking customs, blah, blah, blah. Nothing was helping. Then I eventually got an email from Parson Motel and they're like, oh, yeah, it's been seized by customs. Contact this email address. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Contact the email. Your man come back to me and goes, yeah, send me the invoice, blah, 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 sent it on. He's like, oh, yeah, we're not going to charge you for anything, but you have to go make your way over to Finglas. And I don't drive.
Right.
So after we done we had a busy day, both of us. After doing the interviews earlier, Ronan. I had to make my way over to fucking Finglas. I had to get 4 bleeding buses and fucking...
I'm putting a swear jar in here.
It's fuck it. From the Liberties, we all course.
Up the Libos.
I really am. I'd make loads of money out of it.
The thing is, I got the bottle and it was like I was clutching onto a newborn baby walking home with it. Because I was like, if I drop this, all the effort has been for nothing.
In fairness, it was one of the coolest looking whiskey bottles I've ever seen. Monkey Shoulder. Have you ever
Monkey
seen
Shoulder.
It?
Monkey
no.
Shoulder.
Pull up the bottle there, let Matt see what it's like.
I'm not a connoisseur of whiskey. My little brother is whiskey mad.
Kieran had a couple of chats. Yeah. Had a couple of chats about actually whiskey.
He was doing MC for the Valentine's ball for the hospital only there a couple of weeks ago and Kieran came along.
So you're an MC as well as a jack of all these other trades.
That was another thing. I was asked to do MC for the ball.
That's
and again,
there, look. See the bottle with the 3 little monkeys on the side?
Savage.
And you know the reason for that is because the lads who used to make the barley and the whiskey back in the day, they used to get a shoulder injury from storing the barley too much. Used to get monkey shoulder. Don't know what monkey, but monkey shoulder used to call it.
Well, you got your whiskey in anyway.
I got me whiskey. And yes, Shane, I had planned on bringing it up for us to sample it and I forgot it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, so as I was saying to Kieran, he got himself absolutely hammered. But anyway, he was savage crack. He was so funny. He was brilliant. But I've seen firsthand what whiskey does to you and it's probably the reason why I don't go near it.
Yeah. I was out, not last weekend, the week before, and I was drinking Redbreast. I think I spoke about it on the last episode, but I got that
jacket.
I got that drunk that I left my jacket in the cloakroom. How I did that, like, how do I leave to head home in Irish weather and forget my jacket?
That's normal. That's I've lost so many jackets over the years. Thank God. Shot in pennies.
I used to work in a nightclub, so I used to when people didn't come back from after 2 weeks, Not gonna lie, I have a number of jackets. Still have from back in the day.
So that just sums you up.
I've done door work for years, and a lot of my family are going around with jackets that were left behind. And mates of North Face. And
yeah,
people just super dry jackets. Brand is popular at the moment.
Yeah,
you?
No.
Yeah. At Ireland's Last Man Standing, the boxing tournament that was on in the National Stadium, and it was live on TG4 there. Jack Cullen, boxer from Bullen, Bolton. Jack Cullen from Bolton had the North Face logo tattooed on his back.
No.
He's not sponsored by them, was he?
He'd want to be. He'd want to have some reason for having
that.
This
the whole, like, the MMA, the lad, like, Marius Pudzianowski with the
No, but this wasn't, like, a sponsorship where you just got, like, vinyl done on. This was an actual tattoo.
An actual? Oh, like, who was it done it? Was it Brian Carraway that did it with Bad Boy? Oh, no, Justin Gaethje has the Bad Boy eyes on his ribs. You know that, don't you?
I do now.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
James Irvin, Sandman, had that tattooed on his forearm as well, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I looked up, someone was like, oh, do you know your man has the Bad Boy? It's like, what? And I looked it up and he did. He has the Bad Boy eyes tattoos on his ribs here.
Craig Coakley also has that.
Does he?
Yeah. A lot of people seem to like that image. But Matt, you host your own podcast. Magic Minds.
It's in the infancy. It's in the it's in the creation. I'm like Noah's Ark. I'm trying to build it at the moment. It's an idea. I've done 4 or 5 interviews at the moment. Yeah. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build me interviews. I got speaking to a lad from the IDAD in Dunleary, the Art and Design College.
Hi, Dad.
And he just says to me, go out and do a load of interviews, like maybe 5 to 10. Build up an ammunition.
Like a portfolio, so to speak.
And then you can bang them out each week.
Whilst filming more.
Yeah. And that was that suited me because what I don't know about computers, you can fill a warehouse. So I'm trying to do that and then also build up my computer knowledge, you know, learn how to knock the computer on, learn how to open it, work on the crane, F-I-R-L-M. And, like, I haven't a Scooby-Doo about computers. Like, I know more about calculators and they don't do internet, you know. So, I'm borrowing this and I'm borrowing that. I'm asking people this. Like, my mate Noel was over last night. His company, Rooney Graphics,
shout out to Rooney Graphics.
Yeah, amazing company. He's helped me all the way through my college posters and, you know, all that kind of stuff. He's brilliant. So, he's helped me with the website. You guys are going to give me a dig out with the sound.
Did he go to IT Talent?
Which?
Did he go to IT Talent?
Noel, no. He just worked with a graphic company and he's there with them donkey's years. Yeah. He's there since we're about 16 and he's like my go-to guy for posters and internet stuff. So any chance I get one, even when I get my podcast going, we shout out to Rooney Graphics. Yeah. They're a deadly company.
And your podcast is called Magic Minds.
Magic Minds. Magicminds.ie is going to be the website. It's just basically, I love telling stories. I love sitting down with people, old lads, young lads, people that just... I don't even care if it's
true. What about women? Do women fit in there anywhere?
Anyone.
Because in this day and age, if you are one bit sexist, God help you.
Anyone. Like, I love stories. I don't even care if it's the truth or not. Like, I was chatting to a lad today in the hospital. I have an opportunity to sit down with some amazing people. And this lad was telling me about an angel, a black angel at the end of his bed. He was talking to me about priests masturbating. And he was talking about him being a miracle. Like... What an amazing...
Yeah, well, we're all miracles at the end of the day.
You are definitely a miracle, Kev. Definitely a miracle. But I mean, it's that kind of stuff. And that, like me and you were talking the other night about real conversation.
You said to me the art of real conversation, and that has stuck with me. Because since doing this, and I know we're only a few episodes in, but sitting down and actually conversing with people, like picking up their body language, getting their expressions, just as you call it, having a real conversation, you learn so much more.
Oh, look, like I'd say that conversation with lads, it was an hour and I felt I was there for hours and it was rich. He was sound, he was honest, it was authentic. It was just proper conversation, yeah. An amazing story. And his outlook on life is unbelievable. This man is 72, he's paralyzed from the waist down. He's talking about his beautiful girl that he met at 58. You know, and he gave me some amazing advice of life, just the way he just practiced. And he's just carefree. The first thing he said to me today was, I says, how's it going? What's the crack? He goes, I'm fucking flying. And I says, yeah, not really. I says, yeah, paralyzed in the waist down. And he goes, I'm fucking doing great. And I was like, yeah, look it. And then we sat down and talked. It was unbelievable. I'm trying to capture that in interviews. Like whether it's him, whether it's, you know, authors, whether it's people in mental health, and just anyone that has a good story or just bringing knowledge. I just want to, you know, like what you guys are doing here, just bringing information about something that you're passionate about. And I'm passionate about just storytelling and inspiration and motivation
as well. And real conversation.
And real conversation.
I was fortunate enough, you sent me some of your episodes, one of them being the one with Frankie Gaffney. And then the other one was a guy who'd had a stroke but writes poetry.
Mm.
That was super inspiring. Like yeah. this, when they do come out, it was a guy, his name has...
His name is Derek Cummins. He had a brain injury in 2013. You know, he developed, through his brain injury, had what's known as aphasia. It's a language deficit, you know, communication deficit, yeah. Expressive and comprehensive. And he lost the art of talking and understanding and, you know, and just a small piece of the interview, his brother-in-law gave him an empty book, an empty copy. And he was like, what the hell did you give me that for? But he went back to writing poetry, writing stories, and just an amazing story. But like, he hasn't changed. He's the same person. You can see the passion in his eyes, his drive, it's unreal. And just to sit down and spend an hour or two with him, like, we've been in contact before and after that, and just, he's an incredible human being.
There was two things that really jumped out with me about that interview. One of them was for a man who suffered the misfortune of going through what he has. He didn't sit around. He not only did he go out and become active in raising money for charity, he was raising money for another charity,
yeah,
associated with an illness that was nothing to do with him.
Yeah, it's just a lot of work for the Crumlin Hospital, you know, and they do cycles. And I tell you how good he is at selling. We met a couple of times because he had a brain injury, he's got the aphasia. We got to meet a few times,
okay,
and went through, and it was a structured, you know, make it really structured. It wasn't as off the cuff as the other stuff with Frankie and that. So we met a few times, and then on the tour time, the second time I met him, he gave me a jersey. He goes, I'll have a present for you. But he wasn't giving me the jersey, it's a present. He was basically saying, you got to come on the cycle with me.
He
was roping me in, do you know what I mean?
He roped you into handing out flyers as well.
Yeah, oh no, I stuck up posters in the hospital and all from.
But he, I think it was 13 years, 14 years, he was raising money. And they raised, I think they're touching on 1 million now.
Yeah, they're up to nearly a million. 900,000 or something
million,
like that, yeah.
Euro. Towards a charity that isn't the illness he's affected by. Mm. And this is a man who like has struggles that most able-bodied, able-minded people don't have, but he's out there not being defined by his illness and raising money for us. I think that's to comprehend that, like,
and even on that, Matt, like, do you see that a lot? Because that kind of sounds like he has this issue now with the brain, and is he trying to keep it moving in the sense that he's trying to keep himself busy? And like how would you kind of interpret that from your side, looking at him, working with him?
He's just being himself. Yeah. He's just being himself. Like, I mean, he tells his story about when he worked for Cuisine de France.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he is now. There's no different. Mm. Like, he was driven. Yeah. He was motivated. He was a seller. He was a magpie, as we talk about. He was go, go, go. He was working, pushing and moving and shaking. He was doing stuff. He's doing the same thing now. He's just doing it just somewhere different.
Yeah, I get you.
This is him. This is his body and spirit. This is what he does. And he's just being himself. And he, you know, there's no different. I mean, he tells his story, you can see it. Because he's still the same person.
And from that kind of perspective, do you see it on the other side? Do you see issues where people kind of change? Is there an issue with that?
What do you mean?
Sorry. So if you have kind of issues with the brain or whatever, do you see the personality changes, or does that happen? Because I'm not an expert on it, so
no,
I don't
well,
know.
I wouldn't have seen the beforehand, but the family would have reported. There's like, if we want to talk about the brains later on, we'll get into that. Absolutely, there's changes, you know.
Yeah.
a brain injury changes not only the anatomical but also the chemical balance.
Because the reason I'm
so
bringing
up change.
The reason I'm bringing up is because me and Shane were talking there before about an actual MMA fighter that Gary Goodridge's name is now. There was a documentary made called The Hurt Business, and they were going through a lot of fighters, and they were talking to a lot of fighters. But Gary actually was in this study that I think they tested something like, was it 10,000 fighters or something along those lines, some big number of fighters, okay, to see the effects of fighting. And he's kind of the bad result of how he fought and stuff like that, because it's a completely different man. You can see that. But he put up a post the other day, which was kind of he was putting his heart into it, because he was apologizing for the acts that he had done when he was having the issues. So he must have been having a moment of clarity at that time, posted it up, and he actually put a picture of himself up, and you can he put up two pictures.
He was
and
emotional
one was,
in it, wasn't he?
Yeah, and one of the pictures was him in his prime when he was fighting and stuff like that, and then him now, and you can see it in you can always see it in the
he
eyes.
He basically said something along the lines of, "I'm sorry for what I have done." Or things I have done.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't me. It's not fully me. It was basically, he was alluding to the fact that he's done some strange or abnormal stuff since he's had his brain injury.
And he suffers with dementia. So that's what...
It's terrible sad that he has to apologize, you know.
Or feels he has to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know...
But that's one of the things, sorry, and I'm cutting across you there, but that's one of the things on your podcast was... Ocean? Not the guy you were just talking about, sorry.
Derek,
was he was saying even when he was talking about ordering a bottle of Heineken, and he had to basically tell the barman, look, I'm not drunk, I'm not dossing here, I have an injury, and having to basically apologize.
Give me a minute, I'm having a few issues here, having difficulty here, and you can see it in his eyes, like he's got angry eyes when he says, when he tells you a story, you're like, oh, I get it, you know. But that's but that's the poor barman, like the barman as well, he doesn't know. He does. When I worked in a pub, I've had people come up. And you're only given a few seconds to make a judgment, you know.
I'm exactly the same. I've seen it a number of times.
We've all been ignorant in some ways.
Yeah,
towards.
When the barman knew, I'm sure he went, oh, look, you know, he makes a quick
judgment call. We definitely will go into Gary Goodridge. Yeah. But I just want to finish up the point I was saying with Derek. Was one of the things was raising money and being unbelievably selfless for a man with a condition that he has. But the second one was his writing and his work that he was creating. Was and this hit me because he was basically saying, in case I have another stroke or I have something worse happen, he was leaving in his works, his writing, something he could then go back to and say, this is who I was, this is what. To wake up every day with that thought in your head, to think something's gonna happen, I need to leave a structure or something to remind or bring my sense of self back to me, and to still be motivated enough to go out and live life.
Yeah,
like when we have able body, able mind people who
people take it for granted as well.
You know, it's just he was an unbelievably motivating man, and I think for what you're doing and the concept and what you're creating with your Magic Minds podcast, that's what drew me to having you on here today. Yeah. You know,
even bringing a bit of a lighthearted part of it. Do you remember that movie with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore? She had brain damage, but what he did...
51st Dates.
51st Dates. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to say the name because I wasn't sure.
I've seen that. Like, I've had a lad when I first started working there when I was a student. When I went back to college, I was there. I went to the hospital as a volunteer designing a program for people with disabilities to participate in health. But I had this guy and he got an episodal memory loss.
Yeah.
So we remember the family, remember the wife. But he didn't remember everything that happened day to day. So every time I met him, he used to introduce me who he was, what he had, what was wrong with him, why he couldn't do exercise. And I wasn't familiar with brain injury at all. I was just like, ah, this would be just great crack. We go out, we'll do a bit of exercise. And it just, even then, that just blew me away. Like, he told me the same thing over and over and over again. And he didn't bat an eyelid. It was like something from a film. I'll never forget it.
Just when you were talking about Derek writing down, I was kind of like, geez, that movie that Adam Sandler at the end of it was like, this is your family, this is us, and we're on a, was he on a boat at the end of it or something like that? Every time she got up, she had a video to play, and then she'd come out on a boat. It was good ending.
But comprehend that even for a second, like, you're writing stuff to leave a log basically for yourself, to try to remind yourself and remind others of who you actually are in case you have another stroke, which... You know, loses more brain power or whatever happens to the brain when that happens. That is, like, to face that every day, like, and to still, this man writes poetry, he's unbelievably articulate. That is, like, just...
It's quite remarkable. You feel very grateful. I know I'm sound all American, I'm so grateful. But it's just, you really are grateful to spend some time with people to let you into life. Like, the work that he put into that interview, he pages all over the table. He was set up, we had a structure and... You know, I was trying to be let it flow, but then be mindful and giving him a space. And
And
like, he done really well. It was brilliant, brilliant. And he wasn't so sure after the interview, but then when I sent it on to him and he had a listen to it, he was actually pleased. And I was delighted because he really done a great job. And it came across, I thought it was deadly. Like, I'm going to be biased and I'm going to put it out. And I love it.
It's my story.
Yeah, be biased about your own work.
Yeah, like, okay. No, I don't care if people, I don't give a rats if people don't like it. I'm going to just
There's a liberties thing I've ever heard of.
I love spending time with them. And if people get at them from it, like the poetry, like, he inspired me to write poetry. as he slags it, we're like two miserable poets. We write just when we're miserable and we're down. I don't write any funny stuff.
I write poetry as well now and again, and the same thing, I write about misery.
Yeah, like, so I'd love to be a funny one.
I have a term I use for it, and it's called a melancholy cunt.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, it's just, I don't know what it is about.
And you're
the dark
talking
times,
about me, Corson?
About that, that's a term. But,
that's a term, is it? That's your term.
It's a term I paraphrase for myself, and anyway, I call myself a melancholy cunt. But no, I just think magic minds and that kind of conversation is something that needs to be out there more. You know, it's very easy to get trapped behind the social media and, you know, the life you're supposed to live, or the path you're supposed to walk, the outfit you're supposed to live, the body you're supposed to have. We're getting away from real conversation. We're getting away from interaction and social interaction, our interpersonal skills, and the actual idea behind what we are as humans. Mm. We're social creatures, but not behind a screen. We're robots.
Yeah, me and you were talking about that the other day, and I was saying that now, like, I go on and off. I start using my phone a lot sometimes, and I stop for a while. But I get the whole social media headache, and I tell Shane, when I go home now, I have two bleeding phones. I turn them both in airplane mode, and I just watch a show or something.
Sells a bit on the side, you know.
What?
Sells a bit on the side.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, two phones, drug dealer. Yeah.
From the Liberties, you know what I mean?
Yeah, up the
limos. But that's what I do now, because your brain gets scrambled from the amount of information that's coming at you, and you're like, oh, let's calm down.
Let's pour a whiskey, put the phone away, and relax.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's what's going to be me. Well, not too much. I'm not going to become a completely bowhead.
Matt, we can see you brought us your pet brain.
Yeah.
Talk to me about this and what exactly we're going to discuss now with this.
So, right, so you know, the whole reason you asked me to come along was to talk to you about brain injury in sport. And nothing better. I'm a visual learner, and I want people to see, you know, parts that would be impacted.
Yeah, it's going to move over there.
But definitely want to say,
beside Fedor, who probably actually has some brain damage.
So definitely want to say, like, I'm not knocking boxing, you know, this is purely objective. So I'm not beating boxing. Excuse the pun.
Listen, martial arts, combat sports is my passion, is my love. It's something that I feel like helped change my life for the better. I know Kevin feels the same.
Exact same. Like, if we were saying at the Ronin earlier, we were talking about it. We know what we're getting into. Like, when you're younger, fighting wise, you'll do it for the fun of it. But after a couple more years, you're kind of going, right, will I stay at this a few more years and take a few more digs? And it's life. You know exactly what you're getting into. Like, you're signing your own waiver in your mind at the end of the
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. We choose our own poison. We were only talking about this the other night. You know what I mean?
But what I was going to say was, if I thought you were here to knock combat sports, to, you know, like, just be derogatory towards combat sports for just the sake of it, I wouldn't have you on the show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I think is, you can't, and I said this to you and I said it to you, Kevin, you can't change the sport, I don't think.
No,
you can change the information given to fighters, given to amateur fighters, professional fighters. Like, we had Ronan on today. Ronan fought around the world.
Very good interview, actually.
Fought a lot of times, and he said it himself in the interview, he just didn't know. Didn't know. And a lot of people, it's not that they're ignorant, it's not that they don't care. There's been a whole change brought about in Irish MMA and Irish combat sports. But it's still trying to get the right information out there. It's
education.
Absolutely.
Education, and education,
and
education.
That's where I want to have that conversation.
But right across the board, like, I mean, like, as you read out my qualifications there, like, I started up personal training, done the sports science, blah, blah, blah. I went right across the field. Any athlete should be educating in all of it, like, you know, like, really devote yourself to educate, but not just for your own benefit, for your own health, you know.
Well, that's it. Even when you, I don't know about Shane, but when I first started fighting when we were younger, like our instructor, this is my club where I used to train, like, and we would train like nut jobs, like, to be 40 people up here training. And the sparring would be hard sparring. Like, if you're up here knocking the bollocks out of each other. But with the nutrition type of thing, like, I specifically remember a few years ago, going for a fight, and I had to lose a bit of weight. And I was like, yeah, just start eating a few bananas and this, that, the other. And I was like, that's not really what I don't really know. And I looked into myself, and I start realizing about nutrition, because that's the old generation of, like, it does not, you can't hold it against them. Like, it's the old generation of fight hard, train hard.
Clubs as well.
That's
you know
it,
what I mean?
Like, at the end of the day.
And you, like, I've done coaching across the board. Like, I've done some GAA, done some soccer. I went up to strength and conditioning as a strength and conditioning coach up to Rialto one time, and I've never coached more dedicated, disciplined, sound kids as boxing kids.
Yeah.
Like, I've done GAA and I've done soccer, and their mentality is totally different. I'm not knocking the other two guys, but if you said to a boxing kid, jump on one leg, do the hokey pokey, you'll do great, he'd do it for you.
Did he turn about?
He spit around. But I mean, like, I've never seen it. Like, when I was doing soccer stuff, it was all about winning and getting to a league and, you know, yep, the Premier League. These kids just love boxing. Their attitude was tremendous. And I went away thinking, wow, they're great kids to coach.
Yeah, and that's what, like, even...
Because you've done sports psychology as well, haven't you? So
well, I've done part of it, you know, like, as well. Like, they've done course in the job, which is, it's some psychology, some counselling, just part of just proper communication, you know. It's about working people, social intelligence, you know, it's... You know,
but even on the whole kind of psychology of with the boxers and stuff and how dedicated they are, and you were saying, even we were talking about when we first started training and how dedicated you were. Shane was I think in the last episode you were talking about when you kind of started jiu-jitsu, you thought jiu-jitsu was the whole Eddie Bravo style Kent rubber guard. When I first started training, like, people would know where I would be at a certain time because I was so into training. I'd be up training 6-7 days a week. I was so mad into it. And I genuinely think, like, it's benefited me in the long run. So forget about the damage
that
or whatever.
Piece there, see that piece there? Absolutely brilliant. Socially, emotionally, physically, all that kind of stuff. And you can't take away that's objective.
Therapeutic.
That is amazing. But it comes with then the dangers.
It does.
Do you know what I mean? And people then go... Like smoking, you know what I mean? Smoke's really bad for you, you know what I mean? But it does all these other things for you, you know?
Like, even when you come up early, I was up here doing a training session.
Talk to me
before, like, you know
just
what I mean?
Let's get into the nitty gritty here. Talk to me about just the effects of constant or hits on the head now and again or constant. What happens to the brain when impact happens?
Okay, so what happened? The brain injury, like a traumatic brain injury or brain injury, whatever you want to call it, is anything that physically or anatomically changes the brain, or if it's a chemical imbalance, that is a brain injury. So if it's a traumatic brain injury is a knock, a punch, a fall, a violent shake, or it can be an acquired brain injury, would be, you know, a hypoxic injury, you know, a virus, a toxin, any kind of, you know,
so like
stroke, an aneurysm, so any of those there can cause a brain injury. So where boxing or sports or impact, they would be the traumatic. Now there's levels, there's mild and there's severe. So you're talking about mild, very mild, but they all still fall under the same umbrella. There's still a head injury. Like, so we have the brain here, my pet brain, as you say. Okay, so the brain consists of, how would you describe it? It's like a, you know, like,
it's heavy, isn't it?
Do you know like a Kerrygold?
Yeah.
A semi-soft Kerrygold.
Yeah.
So it had the same texture in a hard casing. So you're thinking, let's give an analogy. It'd be like a can of tomatoes in a tin.
Okay.
Okay. So that's your head. So you think somebody punching you, tap, 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 and it shakes because inside the brain, it's a badly designed piece of work anyway, whoever designed it, whether it was God or Allah or any of them boys.
Keep that over here, so I don't want you to get too far with me, Mike.
Yeah, okay. So it's a bad design, and it's a tomato in a can. So you get a punch, whether it's the temporal, the frontal lobe, the ocular, any part, there's a shake, there's a bang. So you imagine there's little micro bruisings, concussions, or whatever you want to call them. They're still head injuries. They're still changing the structure, whether that be physically or chemically, they have a knock-on effect.
Yeah, okay.
There will be, like, if you get a couple of punches in the head, you know, now, but if you do that repeatedly, like a boxer or like a footballer, he's going to have repetitive strains in his knees, his hip, you know.
Same as well, from heading the ball.
Yeah, and
that's what I was saying. Kevin Doyle, the other Kevin Doyle, had to retire because of heading the ball so much. He was having issues with his brain. That's what he said.
So it goes to show that across the board. But
so, like you say, like a boxer, predominantly his hands are going to be sore, his shoulders going to be sore, but so is his brain.
Yeah.
Like it's like you mean see lads after fighting a face and it's all swollen the hands. The stuff you don't see is the noggin.
But when I used to fight, Fusco used to have us fighting probably, let's say, 8 times within 6 months, you'd have fights, because it'd be like, there'd be so many shows on, whatever. But I used to get that fuzziness a real weird. I could never put my finger on it. And like, because I remember Deco saying on one of the podcasts, fighting with your face. I used to do that, and I remember being in school and months before, I'd be like, doing this test or whatever. Oh, it's grand. But when I was in school, then after the, let's say a good year of fighting, I couldn't pull words down my brain. I was kind of going to myself in class, going, "What is that word? I can see it, but I can't like articulate."
So that's like what I told you, that guy Derek with the aphasia. Yeah. So that is like a word finding and understanding a cat instead of dog or tomato or seeing something green and thinking it's an apple, but it's not. You know, there's all those, like, and that's depending on where you might be hit.
Yeah.
Mostly that time, or it doesn't even have to be that time. It'd be a cumulative effect of other times.
Yeah.
With the can of tomatoes, because I just want to get this across.
Yeah. That's a great analogy.
With the can of tomatoes, right, you're talking about all these taps or all these bangs that outside. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily even have to dint the can. Doesn't have to have.
No.
So the outside of the can still looks absolutely perfect. Normal, but inside everything is getting mushed.
And the way it's shaped there and around it is the skull, and that then in itself has ridges, pointy ridges. So it's in a hard shell with pointy ridges, so when it goes back or sides, it can bang off these pointy ridges, so they in themselves can do damage on the inside.
Yeah,
so we're taking an example here. Two guys in a fight. I was gonna get Dylan White's recent knockout brought up, but a guy gets hit with a big hook. Right, the brain shakes, or the head shakes side to side.
Yeah.
Guy gets knocked out on the punch.
Okay.
The body then falls. Head then smacks off the canvas. What happens to the brain from that punch to that guy then coming back to
there's about
consciousness?
1, 2, 3, 4. There's about 5 impacts on the brain. So when he hits him is 1. The brain moving with inside the skull is another two. So that's 3. Hitting the ground, another 2. So you're talking 5, 6. Boom, 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 boom. And if you do any physics, you know, acceleration by force, the distance he falls, the hooks, if you've done that and multiplied the newtons or whatever way you want to measure it in newtons.
There's that saying, like, every force is an equal and opposite reaction. So
you do all the force, like his brain or head, whatever, is actually receiving a lot of newtons and force.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. But he's boxing, he fell, there's cameras around, there's canvas, there's gloves. It takes away the rawness of it.
Yeah.
But let's put it down to pure bait. He's just had a huge impact to the head.
Yeah.
Like that that happened to me in a fight a few years ago, and it was...
You were knocked unconscious?
Yeah, it wasn't unconscious. It was more of... Because I've had a few fights where I've been hurt and I've made my own decision from feeling, going, fuck this, I'm stopping the fight. So basically I was fighting and I got a punch. Basically it was about here. I got the shot, I think it was. And that was when I went down, and then I got a kick in the back of the head. But when I got back up, me corner mama going, "Are you okay to continue?" And I goes, "Listen, I'm seeing 5 of you at the moment. I'm not fighting.
You got hit in the back of the head, didn't you?
I got directly in the back of the head, and it's
so
yeah,
that's where your occipital lobe, so that's vision, and then you have your cerebellum underneath, so that's balance, coordination, so the two of them together.
See, I hadn't got a clue why that was, because they were asking, "Are you okay to continue?" And I was like, "I want to, but I'm not a pro fighter. I'm not jumping in there to make money. I'm like, I had to go work on Monday. I'm like, it's only fucking fight at the end of the day." But the one thing I wanted to bring up about it was, for that fight, I'd actually cut about 10 kilo in a week. So I'd done the bad way of cutting the water. And to be honest with you, I take a lot better shots than what I've been hit. Like
you
your man
been
now.
Severely dehydrated.
That's what I was asking. Is there actually a whole damage with the whole, like, I know the water comes off the brain.
I can answer. I don't even think it takes Matt's expertise. You not only had you severely dehydrated your body, but your brain would have been lack of water there as well. Yeah. Like,
you're always on the back foot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're depleted in the basic, like, at a cellular level, you're not up, you're not.
If I do a fight again, I'll never be cutting weight like that again. I'll do it the good way. I'll drop the weight gradually, like
straight away before. Like, I mean, your body takes up 20% of your oxygen, takes up.
But that's what
a huge amount.
I was asking you. I was wondering, because I don't know where the sections of the brains. But I remember when I was standing up, and Chris actually asked me during. He's like, "Can you fight, man?" And I was like, "Listen, Chris, I'm seeing 5 of you, so no."
Yeah.
No. So, yeah, whatever so the word it's for.
So like, the back is the occipital lobe, and that looks after kind of vision.
Yeah.
Under here, now near the back of the neck is your cerebellum. So that looks like that works on the motor function, fine motor skills, movement balance. Around the front here, this is like the CEO. This looks after everything. This is the planning, organization. Initiation behaviors. It's like the wife of the brain. It's the most important part. It's your personality is here. Around the side we have the temporal lobe, rib temporal. That's, you'll hear people like that lad talking today. Some memory loss. Just behind that, then you have the parietal lobe. That's like spatial awareness. Your perception on things, perception on people. Someone says something to you, you know, what's he saying to me? Might have damage around here, like you know someone says a joke and you're like, oh, is he winding me up or something? Again, these are deficits that you can have initially or residual deficits but down the road.
Talking about, like, you know, a knockout or heavy trauma to the brain, what happens? Like, obviously the brain is a, like, I would kind of look at it as, or if I could use an analogy, I know you're a fan of analogies.
You know
when you hold the power button on a computer and you turn it off without shutting it down, they say that's really bad, you're going to damage the insides because you're not shutting off all the parts. I would imagine going to sleep, right, so the brain is just gradually shutting down and then it knocks off or whatever happens. Getting knocked out is like that instant turn off, everything hasn't shut down properly. What happens to the brain when it's been knocked out and you get a concussion or a heavy concussion or a traumatic brain injury, as you call it? Recovery wise or just even prognosis for that injury or diagnosis of that injury, what exactly happens?
You can't say because you don't know the specific impact, where it happened, what happened. Like, you mean, it's the most important organ in the body. It's the mothership. It's the CEO. It's the brain. It's the computer. It's up there. It's NASA.
It's you.
You know what I mean? It's every, nothing will happen without this. So it's a complex fold of material. So in there, short circuit, it could bang to the side, bang to the left, wires trip, switches, it goes off. Just to give you an analogy, it just switches off. Like, I mean, you might not see on a CT scan or an MRI where there was damage, because it mightn't show up, but that doesn't mean you don't have a brain injury.
Yeah,
because it could be a chemical imbalance. There could be, you know, breaks in the wires that you mightn't see.
I was literally thinking the brain is electric stuff going through, and that stuff can just be, it can just be shut off and one little bit, and that can affect it. Now, can that ripple? So you can have one, let's say light switches off in 10 million lights, can that cause more switches off? Degradation, I mean, like, that can it happen like that?
It's a cascade of problems. Like, you know, again, I've worked with people that have had brain injuries, but nothing has come up on the scan, and their employer would say, but he's scan cleared and he's grand. I work with them at a functional level,
and that's why you do the actual test.
We see the functional side. So if I'm not neurologically trained,
I've got one scheduled on that as well. And
I'll do some cognitive assessment. So we get people sent in by consultants or doctors, and we've an amazing neuro team, neurorehabilitation team in the hospital. So they come in from the main hospital or from in other hospitals. So they've already been diagnosed, they've already had the scans, all that stuff. So we work with them to a functional level. We look at, you know, we'll do some cognitive assessments, we'll ask the questions, we'll make the observations, and then we'll look at them at a functional level to see what's going on. Irrelevant of what the scan says, irrelevant of what people say. Like, their family is a great indication. You observing somebody making a cup of tea or attempting to make a cup of tea. Like, I've seen people that come in and said, yeah, I'm sounding grand, everything's brilliant, and they couldn't make a cup of tea.
But you know what, I would kind of
does that strike you?
Making
a cup of tea is simple.
I was just going to say,
so many different stages. Knock the kettle on, take the cup out of press, get yourself a spoon, put the tea bag in the cup, put the water on, pick it up. There's so many sequences of events there. You go, but we do that, like, that's easy.
Yeah, but
not if you have executive function skills. If you have to get in the front of your head, banged or knocked or something, and you've lost that ability. But it mightn't come up on the scanner, it mightn't come up on
something as simple
and
as...
That's what I was going to say. It's really weird the way you say that. In IT, computer science, whatever, you do bug testing. So, like, I used to work for a company, do software development, blah, 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 and we get bugs in from customers, and there'd be some of them, like, I don't know, the computer would shut down because of whatever, let's say that, okay? and there'd be 20 steps the customer would give us, and we'd have to reproduce it. And the way you're talking there, those steps, you could do it 10 times and you might not notice, but you have to keep doing them and keep going through those steps a little bit out of the box, a little bit out of the box to find where the issue is. And that's it. The way you're talking about that, it literally just sounds like a computer.
It is.
Or a program.
Some of the stuff is so subtle, you just can't put your hand on it. It's mad because it's nearly innate, when you see someone walking down the road and you instantly cop that they've a limp.
Yeah.
You don't know why, and you just know that it's in us, it's humans. We information process, we see things, and we see something slightly not right there.
It's a
primal thing. I mean, you see that with Brandy and the family, just can't put their hand on it. But he's grand and Larry sounds great and all's going well, but there's something off. There's just something there, and it's that something that just can't get him to go back to work. It's that something that can't get him to drive his car again. It's that something. But he sounds and he looks and he's brilliant. Larry, you should have seen him 2 months ago. He's in a wheelchair, but he looks in great sound, but just something there. And it's that you can sometimes put
your hand on. That's what was crazy, like the way you're talking
about
that.
That's the thing about brain injury. It's a silent disability, and it's so difficult for these people. It's so difficult, because if you're in a wheelchair or you have your leg hanging off, you get the sympathy of the world and you get attention and people help you. We're brain injured, people just don't know. And if you sound and look the same, man, you're just in the rat race with the rest of us.
Right, like, I would class myself on brain injuries as a silly billy. That's being honest. I wouldn't. That's why it's great having someone like yourself. But I did a small bit of research, like, and one of the things that I learned was, especially with the brain, most of the diagnosis are going off of behavioral changes, or if it's a more severe brain injury, then you know. But most of the time, you can't see until the person is dead and the autopsy has been done, and you can see the degeneration in the brain then.
And that's what happened with the NFL players in America. They couldn't test them until they were dead, and now they're starting to develop it.
Did they want to test them?
Have you seen Concussion, the movie?
I
thought it was very good, actually.
Yeah, it's very good, and the doctor figured out the test for when they die, and basically the NFL never wanted it. But what Matt's making out there is, like, did they want to do it because the amount of money that they had to pay out?
You don't see it till there's a traumatic brain injury, because it's a blind spot for family. It's a blind spot for boxers. Yeah. It's put up. It's put as something else. You know, it's like, I'm just not great. I'm not feeling great myself today. Oh yeah, geez, you've changed. Your mood has changed.
And the sad thing about it is we
come up with strategies to compromise or to compensate deficits that we have.
But the person experiencing it usually doesn't know either.
No, absolutely not. It's just it's a huge piece that we work with people in the job, is building insight and awareness. Insight and awareness is nearly the starting point for brain injury or cognitive rehabilitation. How can you work with somebody if they don't have the insight and awareness to say that they have a problem? I'll give you a point, another analogy, of somebody going on X Factor and getting up and seeing your man saying, "Get off, you're rubbish." Like, they didn't have the insight and awareness to know they're shit because their family didn't tell them.
Yeah.
They didn't have a coach to say, "Look, you can't sing." No insight, no awareness. Yeah. And that's when you say to people, "Look, Larry."
But my man always told me I could sing.
Yeah. Just because you are pretty.
Thanks, man.
And people don't know that. I mean, you say, "Larry, you've got a memory problem," or, "Larry, you've got information processing difficulties." And you go, "No, I don't." And I go, "But you do." And then when you come on the program, we will do stuff with them, you know, education, process training, functional stuff. And then only through repetitive, constant, consistent feedback, then they will develop they'll get that aha moment, and then that's probably through, you know, neuroplasticity, and they develop like there won't be any regeneration of dendrites in the brain. That doesn't happen as a young, unless you're young, but as an adult, it's just consistent
and that's feedback. What I wanted to bring up, I was saying to you earlier about I literally seen this today. There's this mobile barber that goes around. Did I send it to you?
No.
This mobile barber that goes around and he just cuts dementia patients' hair. And what he does is he brings a jukebox with him.
I saw this somewhere though. It was on Facebook yesterday. It was on RTE.
And he basically brings a jukebox around, plays that, and cuts the lad's hair and has a chat with them. And the music playing, and he's just talking to him like a normal person. Like, these lads are in their 60s, 70s, 80s. And even he was showing a couple of lads, he had a couple of recordings, like, your man would finish his getting his beard done, and your man just goes, "Yeah, I'm good looking, am I?" And your man's like, "Yeah, you are." But it's what he's doing is what you're saying. He's going through that. He's working with him to kind of get his brain firing and seeing where the issue. It was so cool to see. Like, remember Lenny White, I think his name was.
I want anybody watching this, I want them to learn something. I really want to raise awareness. Obviously, you're not going to advise combat sports as a lifestyle choice, being in the job that you are and the injuries that you have seen.
But can you stop?
So if you stop, say if you get some concussions or you get really bad knockout and you're in your 20s, mm-hmm. can you, if you retire, like say if you take Ronan as the example, he retired when he was 30, I think it was, he said, because of the symptoms he had.
Okay.
Is that brain injury degenerative in a sense that it's no matter what, that's there and it's going to keep like getting worse? Or will the stopping and no more contact help the brain and kind of repair in any sort of way?
I'm trying to guess what you're trying
to say. What I'm trying to say is
brain damage reverse itself.
It's not going to infect the next area and then it's not going to have it. Is that what you mean? That's going to
no, but what I mean is if you stop, okay. I'm 28.
Okay. I get what you mean.
If I stop now, is my brain okay? If I've received, like I've had concussions, If I've had like serious amount of knockouts and I've been concussed a lot.
Something's not just going to jump out of the bush and go, ha ha, I was waiting here for you. It could or couldn't. And that's just life. That, you know, it's like cancer. You know, you can take all the preventive measures and then all of a sudden, boom, you get testicular cancer or esophageal cancer. It could just happen and you didn't smoke. It can happen. But I mean, if you're a boxer and that happened to you, I would be going on my way to really mind myself. I would be going down my way because, like,
like what Floyd Mayweather does, essentially. He protects himself all the time.
Unbelievable, like, at a cellular level. Mm. Like, the cause of all problems, a punch in the head, a bang, is an inflammatory process. So when you get a hit and the trouble that happens in the brain, it's inflammatory. So from your life, from now to whenever you die, you would want to be practicing anti-inflammatory processes. Wherever that is for you, that's what you do.
That's what you seem to hear from a lot of doctors about. Everything has to, you have to stop the inflammation.
Everything, anything bad.
The keto
bad,
diet helps inflammation and stuff like that.
In the body, any problem, any like, you know, illnesses, whether it's metabolic syndrome or it's depression, all these things, at a site level, at a cellular level, there's an inflammation process.
Yeah.
So you've got knocks in the head, you've had concussions. So just think, there's inflammation there. How to reduce those inflammation? How do I create an environment in my body that protects me from the inside out?
Yeah, I get you.
How do we do that at a cellular level? Anything promoting reducing oxidation at a cellular level, and then what foods do I take? What practices do I do? You know, all this kind of stuff, and that will not only physiologically help you, but you psychologically then will think, you know what? I'm putting a few quid out my health pension here.
Yeah. Right. So you.
Does that make you warm and fuzzy?
I'm gonna give you an example. I genuinely want people to learn because mixed martial arts combat sports as a whole is just the most fastest growing sport.
And this really is not just your brain. Like, this is like inflammatory in your hands, everything. Your knees, anything. Get into that practice for recovery.
If Joe Bloggs, right, is a kid who's now become a martial artist, is gonna start fighting and it's gonna have a serious career for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
What advice do you give him or propose to him for optimal brain function and safety? Like, so what should he do or what steps? So I mean, if he's in a fight and he gets knocked out, how long should he take off? What is he doing in his life to promote and as you said, reduce inflammatory stuff? What do you propose to try to ensure health in the brain and optimal brain function within a combat sports environment?
It's these skills are transferable right across any sport. Do what the other champions are doing, not just in boxing. Do what they're doing in golf. Do what they're doing. Create good behavior. What?
Is golf a sport?
Right across. Do what the champions of life are doing. Practice good behaviors. You know, break it down into all the components that will make you a champion.
Yeah.
Break it down and go from my list of priorities when you start anything you do. You know, breathing. You know, start off, manage your breathing, practice your proper breathing. There's a great book by Patrick Keown. It's called The Oxygen Advantage.
Yeah.
And that's all about nose breathing. Not because as human beings, we've developed just mouth breathing.
But so that's what we teach in martial arts when you're fighting and stuff. Like, even if you're in the third round of the heavy thing, get that. Even if you're covering up, taking shots.
That was scary.
Absolutely.
You're a beast. Yeah, look, I mean, but that, even being proficient with oxygen, that at a cellular level, that's
you're filling the gas tank at the end of the day.
The proper balance of pH with your carbon dioxide, nitrogen, oxygen, where when you do it through the mouth, you've lost a lot of it. So that comes up, managing that stuff. Then you're talking about, as we said, you're doing all the free stuff, sleeping, getting your sleep down.
That's one thing I have to work on.
For brain health. Like brain health, you know, 2 days of sleep deprivation, huge problems mentally and cognitively. Like all of like, if we'll talk in a sec about the what each part does. 2 days of sleep deprivation, not sleeping properly, you see yourself at a functional level, you're just not right.
Yeah, you're not.
So that kind of stuff, where would we go for then? You're like in the sleep, and you're talking about like practicing meditation, practicing like mindfulness, you know, all that kind of stuff together.
I think there's one.
Is these things gonna recoup the brain or rehab the brain, like, so to speak? Like,
meditation lights up parts of the brain. It's been shown, and you've shown like scans under, like, when meditating and not meditation, it lights up like a Christmas tree, parts of the amygdala and other parts of the brain through meditation, from the breathing. Like, a huge marker for health is blood pressure. Yeah. Meditation reduces blood pressure.
Well, that's what the instructor in here used to do at the end of class. So what he used to do is finish class at 9 o'clock or whatever and lie on the floor, and he would just speak like quiet monotone. He'd be like, relax the feet, relax the knees, relax the hips. Mm. And 5-6 minutes maybe, and you'd sit up, and he'd tell you just to kind of sit up and cross the legs and just kind of keep yourself. And even though, let's say, you were killing each other for 2 hours and you're sweating, blah, blah, those 5 or 6
slows
minutes,
the mind down.
It was like, again, the old guys still know a lot, and I don't see other clubs doing a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. And he still does it, like, after a hard session, even if I'm up here on my own, I'll lie down, I'll make sure nothing's going to annoy me, no phones are on, and I'll just switch the lights off, and I'll lie for 5-6 minutes, relaxing everything. And you feel this refreshment, even though your body's wrecked, mind...
It just calms you right down.
You feel that refreshment, yeah?
You do feel...
You feel this refreshment.
So it's like breathing, sleeping, environment.
Yeah.
Like getting your environment down, reducing your stresses, your stresses. Not even reduce the stresses, being mindful of how to manage them, overthinking, monkey brain, learn proper mental health tricks that you can use. These are like, get into good routines in the morning, you know, do what the champions are doing, you know, start your day,
take
off.
No shortcuts, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and there's a whole, like, this, it does not, like, the red pill this and the blue pill this, that. Get into brilliant, solid behaviors, consistent
for the brain. Like, you know, if we sprain an ankle, if you twist the knee, you know, ice, we heat things, we can take medications. If you do get knocked out, or you do have a hard sparring session and you have that sparring headache where your brain is just pounding, what are some of the things you can do for the brain or for your head, like, other than
I'm not a dietitian, and I'm not a biochemist, so I'm not recommending anyone doing it, but I mean, do your research, look, educate yourself. But the stuff that I would do if it was me, it'd be first and foremost is nutrition.
Yeah,
is your macronutrients on point, you know, your carbs, fats, protein,
what you're putting to your body at the end of the day,
protein being the main one, you know, everything at a biological,
that's what Charles was talking about when you first
everything
your diet.
Everything you do at a chemical or a biochemical level is an amino acid. So your protein, if you want anything to repair, inflammation is repair and, you know, reconstruct. So protein levels, make sure your macronutrients. So then you have your micronutrients, you know, make sure your fats are in there, make sure you're taking your fish oils, or if you're a plant-based person, you're getting your omegas in, so your walnuts, these kind of stuff, all anti-inflammatory foods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything, you know, your folates, fish oils, like, when you've had an injury, there's going to be depletion, and magnesium is a huge one.
Yeah,
magnesium citrate, not so much oxide. Zinc. Zinc is a huge one, great for flus.
That's
and
what
immune
I read. It was really weird. Someone was talking to me about the keto diet, and they were saying
Kevin's favorite diet. Yeah, you were talking Kevin mentioned keto at least 10 times an episode.
But they were talking about a magnesium deficiency, and they were talking about you get cramps.
Hmm.
and we were having our episode last week, and I start getting leg cramps, and I never get leg cramps. Mm. And I looked into it, and I was like, that's where I'm getting it, because I didn't have enough magnesium in my diet. And like, it's meant to listen to this stuff, and it's all like connecting everything.
It's a type of magnesium that you take in, but you can take a lot in through your diet. But if you've had a brain injury, and if you're on medication for brain injury related, or medication for something else, you will be deficient in lots of minerals and vitamins. So there's the fish oils, there's magnesiums, there's the folates, and you got to be careful then. People eat a lot of greens because there's a lot of sulfur in it, and they can cause a reaction, and you see people getting bowel stuff. And plus, 1 in 4 people have a mutation called the MTHR, and they can't metabolize
for folate. Idiots and silly billies like me, MTHR is
it's a mutation gene. It's the mother for something. It's a long name. I'll put it, if you have a link, you can put it in the information. MTHR gene, people can't metabolize folate, and that in itself then raises homocysteine.
That's something I haven't heard, because normally people are just saying greens are the best thing ever.
Oh, they are, and absolutely. But then at a cellular level, people might have a gene that can't metabolize. You know, when you get a B complex, like the B12s, it's best to get it with a methylated group, because it's already, the process has started. And if you have the gene, you won't be able to metabolize. And that means
your body can't process it.
And then homocysteine levels raise up because you can't metabolize it. And that in itself, homocysteine levels is a huge marker for inflammation.
Mm.
And doctors and hospitals, they don't test that. If you have a sound doctor and you really look after, you're into your health, go get your homocysteine levels done.
Yeah.
Not the stuff that the doctor. And that's another thing for people in sports, is get good panels done. Get your endocrine system.
I've never got a panel
done
ever.
Get your bloods. Get your test levels. Blood panels, all that, like proper ones.
I really,
and get a sound doctor that knows his shit. You know,
just for the everyday Joe, because I find what you're saying is fascinating. But for me as well, I'm not really processing what you're saying, because I genuinely, some of the words you're saying, I really don't understand.
Okay, sorry.
So far, no, you know, it's not you. It's not nothing you're doing. But I just want to simplify it for any viewers out there who are probably listening and going, get a panel donor. Homocysteine, it's like, just what exactly is that? Like, so homocysteine, that so controls
homocysteine level is a marker. It's an inflammatory marker in your body.
Yeah.
So if you've got high levels of homocysteine, so I think it ranges from 4 to 12. That's a range that you want to keep in.
Yeah.
So if you're up and above the range, it means that there's an inflammation, a high inflammation in your body somewhere in around.
And inflammation is essentially damage.
Inflammation is the cause of atherosclerosis. Yeah. They blame it on cholesterol. But if you didn't have inflammation, you wouldn't have cholesterol sticking to the walls. You wouldn't have atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries. Yeah. So inflammation caused the crime, but the cholesterol got the blame for it.
Yeah, I get you.
So if you have a cut in your hand, inflammation comes along, it gets sticky, the plaque comes over, it cures it. Same on the inside.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. And that happens with the brain, when the brain gets injured.
You think of any inflammatory response in the body, that's what happens.
Yeah, perfect. Cool. Another question I really want to ask you as well is, obviously with combat sports, one of the biggest parts of it is, as Kevin alluded to earlier on, is cutting weight.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask your opinion and your thoughts on dehydrating the body so severely that you do see the way people do look. What happens to the brain during dehydration?
Same thing that happens to every other organ. It doesn't function at an optimal level. It just doesn't. There's no different. There's no getting away from it. It takes up a huge amount of nutrition. It takes up a huge amount of oxygen. So a blind man on the flying horse would say that's going to have problems.
Yeah.
Like, you mean, what
blind man on the flying horse?
What boxer goes to bed cutting weight, sleeps properly? What boxer goes I don't know this. Like, I've not worked. I've done a little bit of work with you. We've done that session. But I've never worked in a camp. And I'm fascinated with, surely there's problems at home. Surely there's sleep problems. Like, at a functional level.
Surely sounds like she's going through a hard time.
Oh, I'd say it's difficult. So you know yourself the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, really, like if you think about it, and you think about it objectively and not emotionally because you love boxing. If you look her from an outside in, you go, man, that's not good. You're putting yourself to the ringer.
While we're on the subject of the brain as well, like, just there was an absolutely kind of heartbreaking thing that happened in Irish mixed martial arts and the scene at the moment, and I hope Cian won't mind me bringing up, but basically Cian Hogan, who was an ISKA champion, He was someone who was heavily involved in the Thai scene, and it was transitioning to mixed martial arts. And this is the great thing about what happened with Safe MMA and the brain scans. So basically, mixed martial arts, amateur and professional, have mandatory brain scans. Keane went for his mandatory brain scan and has had to retire now because of the results that came back. And basically what happened was they found a 4.7 centimeter, and I really hope Keane won't mind, but for educational purposes, I hope he won.
Okay.
4.7 centimeter cyst in his brain.
And that's unbelievable, isn't
makes it really real, because he goes into a fight, maybe gets impacted on his brain, that brain or that cyst could, you know, explode or whatever could happen. But one of the things that kind of hit me with it was like, the cyst, you know, makes it real, but blood vessels can just as easily burst on impact.
You can have an aneurysm, you know, clots, anything will happen. You don't have to be in boxing.
Like, you could be walking down the street and just drop dead. Life happens.
Cycling has a huge brain injury impact. Like, that's nearly the highest cycling.
Yeah, I've actually heard that.
They're huge. Like, we've had tons of people in Bros that have been falling off bikes, horses, horse riding. Horse riding's a huge one. Amateur one is huge.
But polo, is that I've read about polo. That's
water polo.
Yeah, like, you get a lot of, because of the hammers flying up and down. Does that ever?
I've never had patience. What I was trying to say about. About the panels and all, and where I was going with that was, when you have a brain injury, okay, and we talked kind of earlier about a cascade. So when you have a chemical, you know, a brain injury, and a chemical imbalance, that then has an impact on the neurotransmitters, that then has an impact on the endocrine system, the nerves, the hormones, like whether that's test, thyroid function. So they all have an impact, and they affect mood, they affect motivation, they affect everything. So what I'd say is, to get the whole works done, so you have a picture of the bloods, whether from your hormone levels, from your thyroid, all right the way across, and then you sit down, and then you can see under the hood of the car, even if there's no damage there. You can look at your test levels, you can look at your estrogen levels, because from a brain injury, these are impact. There's a guy called Jay Campbell. He's called the TRT guy, and he had a guy on that had a brain injury, and he had he's done test replacement therapy and all that, but he went and got bloods and all. And it was just a fascinating interview, but it was brilliant, and he went through it all as well himself. He got the bloods done, and he went back to his doctor. They weren't very proactive, because his test levels were low, his estrogen levels were low, his mood was under the levels, and it impacted him. And brain injury can do that. Brain, like, that can happen to you without a brain injury, but when you get the bloods, you can have a look at it.
Because you get a map, basically.
You just see it. There's no guessing going on, but you have to have a proactive doctor. You have to have a sound doctor. Most doctors up here just say, do your cholesterol.
But they're all about 90 as well.
Check your BMI. Are you grand? Yeah. Sound. Have some antidepressants. Go on down the road, you're grand.
all these things, and you said, do the free things, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I wanted to bring up and discuss, and I know I mentioned to you off, so you don't have to go too in depth into it, but like nootropics and all these new things with shiny labels and the pictures, and their athletes are sponsoring by them, and they're just everywhere, like all these things. And you said it perfectly to me, like, you know, are all the other ducks in order, you know, for these things to work, like nootropics, you know, for optimal brain function and brain health and just health? You're basically promoting it's a lifestyle.
Absolutely. It's right across mind, body and soul. I don't sound all new age and hippie about it, but it's all them. Like, things don't work in isolation. Anthony Joshua didn't become the world heavy champion by just doing boxing.
But you've worked with these patients. You see this on a daily basis.
People don't. Yeah, I do, but they don't practice it. People don't do it. They don't. They just want the red pill, the blue pill. I'm not saying about the people I work with, but human beings. They want the easy thing. They don't want the... they don't want a problem solved. You know, people want to just the easy option. Life is difficult enough for them, but I mean, delegate. Get somebody in your corner that can help you. Get somebody, like, if people are interested, I'm a nerd for it.
Yeah.
People want to chat to me, get in contact. I'll gladly give people a dig out. Help them sift through stuff like this. There's so much. And there's so many simple things to do as well.
Because you're usually interested in getting more involved with the martial arts and combat scene.
So I'd like
to. Can you just let us know, your Twitter handle is?
It's @ZBanda.
Is it? It's yeah. Magic Minds podcast now?
But no, I don't. It's Magic Minds. I haven't changed my Twitter. I don't have to do it.
Oh,
I see
it, man. I'll show you. Don't worry, man.
Thanks, Kev.
I'll be your tech guy.
I know you are interested
you can,
in it.
You can get me at ma@magicminds.ie. You can send me an email.
Yeah, because I know, and as well, you're looking to have some fighters on your podcast as well.
Definitely.
But yeah, if there's anybody out there who's interested in speaking to Matt, get on his Twitter, go on the email
address. Let me give you a dig out. Let me try siphon through, because there's so many snake oil sellers out there promoting bullshit. Do you know what I mean? You know, yeah, it can be a bit.
And Matt will give it to you straight as well.
It can be a little bit difficult to cipher through, and people only want to take what they want out of it.
Yeah.
But bang, everything you do, you want to do bang for buck. Yeah. And that's another thing you say, what do athletes do? Look at your training. Look at your sleeping. Are you training more than you should be resting?
Yeah.
There's so much research out there now that says you don't have to train that much.
Yeah.
I've watched athletes now. They're not training as much the pros.
Yeah, like I've gone from doing maybe 2.5 hours training to less than an hour now, and it benefits me more.
There's tons of research out there to say that, you know, we're not designed to train that long. Back to inflammation.
Yep.
As soon as we do long runs, long whatever, boom, inflammation kicks in. We're sore. That's an indicator to say, kill your jets, Larry.
This has definitely been educational for me.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the nootropics?
Nootropics, yeah, actually.
Yeah. Like, there's they're individual. Nootropics, psychotic drugs, all that. They're individual, and they don't work for everyone. They do for other people. Will they go across the blood-brain barrier? Will they not? You know, there's so many.
Yeah.
But as we said, you have to have all your ducks in a row. Like that one you were saying, Alpha Brain, and it has. Like I looked and I was saying to you, I nearly fell down the rabbit hole of research and all the stuff that's in. I went, hold on a second. Will this work for you if you're cutting weight? Your missus is giving you an awful time. Your job is driving you bonkers. Will this blue pill, red pill, will that show a significant change for £70 a month?
It is a bit expensive as well. Like,
do you know what I mean? And I looked at some of the ingredients. Some of them promote, you know, dopamine levels. Some of them look at B vitamins and the anti-inflammatories and the claw. And I'm not saying, I'm not knocking the product.
Yeah, we're not dismissing.
Absolutely.
Alpha Brain is just because it's a popular one. But what Matt's basically saying is, what's the point in looking for a magical cure with nootropics when you're not sleeping correctly, when your diet is shit, when all these other steps that you could be doing, you're not? And then you go and buy Alpha Brain or any other nootropic and you think, this is going
to
be the cure.
Exactly.
Like, get back to the stuff. Like, there's a product called NAC. It's called N-acetylcysteine. That works great at a cellular level. That reduces free radicals, oxidation at a level. CoQ10. These are other products that are great, that work at a cellular level. These have great research behind them. They're not expensive. You'll have them for a couple of months. You don't have to take them long term.
Yeah.
You know, we could part your arsenal, but these are things that you can just bring in. You don't have to invest too much money in them. There's a few other things out there like nootropics that are popular, but you can cycle them in again for around sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, like the likes of GABA, 5-HTP, melatonin, stuff you can use, but you don't have to go out and spend a fortune on them.
Yeah.
But don't expect like
miracles.
Like a point of red tin of paint to paint your wall. Yeah. It's not going to go, whoa, that's red.
Yeah.
You know, you won't see it, but it's part of your tools.
So lifestyle change and focus more on stopping inflammation in the body.
Reducing inflammation at cellular
reducing
level.
Stressors. Reducing all these
stress
things.
In itself is it causes inflammation. That causes coronary heart. It's one of the huge contributors to coronary heart disease. Stress.
I genuinely, Matt, we could do 7 hours.
Yeah,
I'm definitely
born in the years.
We're gonna get you back on as well.
Definitely gonna have you back on because.
Can I just say, I'm not trained as a nutritionist. I'm not trained as an endocrinologist or anything. Mine is all experiential learning.
Yeah.
My own, as you say, in college.
And your views are your own, as you were saying.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's self-directed learning. I'm a geek for reading books. I'm a geek reading and talking to people and this, and it's. Again, I do some research, but again, you can do all this yourself.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The thing as well is, we're definitely going to have you back on because there's so much I want to pick your brain on. But I understand learning and for processing this is so difficult for people as well to take in so much. But we definitely will have you back.
Do you know what we didn't do? We probably maybe the next one is look if people, boxers specifically, want to identify problems they might be having regarding the brain.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Do you know what I mean? Looking at the parts of the brain that would say, right, this does that, and they go, oh, wow. Because you know when you look and watch something, you want to take snippets from things going,
yeah,
in fact, that could be me, or that could be. So hopefully we could educate. Yeah, Matt, I'd love to come back.
Definitely, no, you definitely will be back on. Thank you very much for coming on.
Legends. Good man. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So this has been episode 2. So shout out to Charles and Jim Trishan, IrishFighting.com, Footscos and Meat Street. I hope this has been highly informative for you, because this,
I've been stuck listening to him this whole hour.
This is something, as I said, is a huge part of martial arts and combat sports as a whole, but doesn't necessarily have the right information out there. There's loads we didn't touch on in terms of mental health, about all the other things that come along with brain injury. We just basically wanted to get an informative view out there so you could maybe pick some stuff up. As Matt said, if you want to talk to him and he's looking
Matt
to...
Matt might be a habitual guest listening to all this.
Matt's looking to get involved more in the combat sports and martial arts side of things. So by all means, drop Matt a message. Definitely start working with Matt. And as he said, just take the chance. Like, we've nothing to lose.
We'll have
just
all his info on the video.
Like, I went and I've done a ref course, like, to see what it's like on the other side of the line. And it gives you a different perspective on things. Yeah. Like, oh, you have an opinion of boxing, I love it, but I'm an armchair supporter, whatever you want to call it. I just love it, but I like to see it from the other side. Or, you know, I love all this kind of health and for wherever it is.
Once again, Matt, from myself,
thanks a lot for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's great work coming out of the Liberties, and I'm really impressed.
Thanks, Matt.
Episode 2. Thank you very much, everybody.